I stand before you. An unworthy and unprofitable servant of the Lord. And yet I know He's called us in His priesthood to stand in His stead and deliver His message to His people. So I ask for your prayerful support. In the book of Matthew, chapter 11, beginning with verse 29, we read this. Then spake Jesus, saying, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Comforting words spoken by our Savior. I encourage you this hour, as you prepare to take of the holy emblems, to be in silent prayer. I believe that the Lord wants to speak to your hearts today. So I encourage you to listen. And He wants to hear from you. So be prayerful. I'm reminded hymn number 403. What a beautiful hymn this is. One of our favorites. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Still the Savior is our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. What a friend we have in Jesus. His yoke is easy and His burdens are light. Americans are under more stress than ever before. And this is what I learned in an article I read last week. According to the American Psychological Association, In their 2017 Stress in America survey, nearly 2 out of 3 Americans, or 63%, cite concern about the future of the country as a somewhat significant or very significant source of stress. Nearly as many, or 59%, point to current social divisiveness as one of their biggest worries. And we know who the author of division is. The same 59% of Americans polled, which include people who lived through World War II, the Vietnam War, 9/11, believe this to be the lowest point in our nation's history that they can remember. I don't necessarily agree. They pointed to a variety of reasons for their concern: cost of health care, declining trust in government, Social Security benefits, rising crime, stagnant wages, and of course debt, school loans, car loans, high mortgages, credit card debts. On average, Americans have more debt than ever before in our history. Most have little of value to show for it. They have no way out. And they have no hope that things will get better. Tens of millions of Americans increasingly feel they have nothing to lose. We see more depression in our country than ever before. People look for ways to escape. They end up turning to destructive behaviors, making matters much worse. They turn to things like alcohol, gambling, illegal drugs, spending sprees, overeating, crime, hurting themselves or others. Many of us are touched by these things indirectly, if not directly. This may paint a pretty dark and depressing picture, but I don't see it that way. I look at it as an opportunity, because we have a story to tell. A story of hope. A story of love, compassion. A story of forgiveness. I believe the message of Jesus is becoming higher in demand in the condition we find ourselves in. We know that there are those outside our country that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness and truth. And as we are humbled, we too seek greater light. I was reminded of another favorite hymn of ours that we sing often, hymn number 4438. We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right, a story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light. a story of peace and light. Weave a song to be sung to the nations that shall lift their hearts to the Lord. A song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword. And shatter the spear and sword. Weave a message to give to the nations that the Lord who reigneth above hath sent us His Son to save us and show us that God is love. And show us that God is love. We have a Savior to show to the nations who the path of sorrow has trod, that all of the world's great peoples might come to the truth of God. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We have a story to tell, and we should be telling it. None of us are completely immune to the stresses and struggles of life. We were always taught to pay our debts. I believe I learned that from my parents and my grandparents. My grandpa and Grandma Harper, Grandma Bessie and Grandpa Francis Sr., they were married in 1929 in a little home in Woodbine, Iowa. They had their future ahead of them. My grandpa was a farmer. They didn't quite know what was in store for them. They lived through the Dust Bowl, the Great Depression. Times were hard. You know, Grandma Bessie was a scrimper. She learned how to save and to go without. In fact, every time we have fried chicken, I think of Grandma Bessie. Our way of finishing the chicken was not her way. And she was glad to take the legs and the thighs that the grandkids didn't finish. None to go to waste. They lived through some very trying times. I believe that my grandfather was in debt most, if not all, of his life. And yet he said, "I always pay my debts." He always paid when those came due. My grandfather passed away in 1984. And those that that farmed in the mid-80s, you know that things were pretty tough for farmers. Many had to sell their farms and take up other professions. My grandparents bought a couple farms and worked hard And by 1986, when times were really tough, they were encouraged to sell. You see, the debt on their loans, the interest was accruing at $500 every day. And had they sold, they would have been $800,000 short of paying their debts. Nevertheless, they remained faithful. Took a lot of hard work and sacrifice. And you know, they always paid their tithing. You know, as I mentioned, Grandpa passed away. He was not able to witness one of the greatest miracles of their life. For a little over 10 years after, my Grandma Bessie witnessed the final payment of that great debt. I can only imagine the joy that she felt, the relief of having that weight, that burden lifted. Many of us carry debts. Debts take many forms. Today, we come bearing a different kind of debt. The debts of sin. Also very heavy and burdensome. Perhaps debts of lust and greed, envy, pride and selfishness. Perhaps a sharp tongue, backbiting, tail-bearing. Every single one of us carries a burden, a debt. In James chapter 2, verse 10, we read, "For whosoever shall, save in one point, keep the whole law, he is guilty of all." Not a one of us is without debt. This is why our loving Savior died for you and for me. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we read, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." This gift that He gives freely to you, to me, and not only to us, but to all His creation. Those that would come unto Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, seeking repentance. In Matthew chapter 6, we read the Lord's Prayer. And the part I want to focus on this morning is this: "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In verse 16, "For if you forgive men their trespasses who trespass against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses." How important it is for us to understand that. I'm sure you've heard this or seen it before, the way that they trap monkeys in Africa and India. They put something that the monkey wants inside of a little vessel where the opening is just big enough to get his hand through, but not his fist. And when he grabs those items in that vessel and pulls out, he can't get his hand out. And he's burdened by that. But he doesn't let go of those things that he wants for himself. We're kind of like that. We seek forgiveness, and yet we hold on to those things that have happened last month, last year, or years from today. Today is the day to forgive your brother and your sister. For those burdens just weigh us down. The Lord wants to relieve us of those things, but we're holding on. We need to let Him lift all of our burdens. Peter asked the Lord, "How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" What'd Jesus say? "I don't say unto you seven times, but 70 times seven." Basically, there is no limit to the number of times that you must forgive your brother or your sister. He told him a parable of the king that would reckon with his servants from time to time, those debts that he lent unto them. And the one that came unto him owing him, say, 10,000 talents. In today's terms, that many believe to be many millions of dollars. And he had not to pay. And the king ordered that he and his wife and his children would be sold. And I never thought about this until just this morning. What value did they have other than becoming slaves to that debt that they owed? Sin is like that. We become enslaved to those things that burden us. And he asked his Lord to be merciful. "Have patience with me and I will pay thee all." Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him. That same servant went to a fellow servant that owed him 100 pence, just a few dollars, and threatened his life unless he paid. Hypocritical, isn't it? The Lord caught wind of this and said, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thy fellow servant even as I had pity on, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me, shouldest thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if from your hearts you forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. It's important that we love one another as Christ loves us. In Galatians 6 and 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. When we stepped out in faith to seek to be baptized, to seek remission of our sins, we agreed to several things. And we are reminded of this by the words of Alma in the 9th chapter of Mosiah, beginning with verse 39. And now, as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called His people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens that they may be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as witnesses of God at all times and in all things, and in all places that ye may be in, even until death, that ye may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. This is what we agreed to. Now I say unto you, if this be the desire of your hearts, what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord as a witness before Him, that ye have entered into a covenant with Him, that ye will serve Him and keep His commandments, that He may pour out His Spirit more abundantly upon you. And now when the people had heard these words, they clapped their hands for joy and exclaimed, this is the desire of our hearts. And this is the desire of our hearts, to serve Him and to bear one another's burdens. Alma 16, verse 200. And then may God grant unto you that your burdens may be light through the joy of His Son. And even all this can ye do if ye will. Amen.